This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Let me talk to you about China, because the president has indicated after that he formed a good relationship with President Xi and that he's hoping President Xi will help with North Korea. There was talk this week about the fact that China is turning back coal shipments from North Korea and threatening to cut off its oil supplies. North Korea depends, 90% of its oil comes from China. On the other hand, trade between the U.S. and North Korea is up 37% so far this year over last year. So my question is, did President Trump get a specific commitment from President Xi on North Korea?
Well, I think you didn't mean trade between North Korea and the United States.
There isn't trade. No, if I said that, no, between the two.
Yeah. Between China and the United States. Well, you know,
trade between North Korea and China is up 37%.
Okay. Yes, it is. And that's why China has the kind of leverage it does have. And that's why the two presidents talked about could China use that kind of leverage, which they haven't been willing to do in the past. Or they've been willing to do a little of it in the past, but were they willing to do a lot more of it? And the Chinese president gave an indication that he would be willing to work with President Trump and with other allies to try to see what could be done. I mean, we all understand that the Korean Peninsula should be denuclearized. We've said it, the Chinese have said it, the Russians, everybody said it. The question is, how do you do it? And the Chinese have always been concerned about instability in the Korean Peninsula. And I think what President Trump was able to convey to the Chinese president is that North Korea is no longer an asset. North Korea is a liability. North Korea is a liability to everybody, and it's a threat not just to the United States, not just to South Korea, not just to Japan, not just to Russia, but it's actually a threat to China as well. And at this point, we have to wait and see. You know, it's like your kids in the back of the car when you're on a long trip saying, when are we going to get there? Well, in this case, I think we should give the Chinese president some opportunities and some time, as well as pursuing the economic and diplomatic pressures that we have and our allies have that we can bring to bear on North Korea.
Well, clearly, Donald Trump and the international community, the last thing they want is bombs bursting in air here. KT McFarland also mentioned that the attempt by North Korea to fire off a missile, you know, that was going to punctuate, you know, their whole ceremony that day. This was an annual event where they march out all their weapons and, you know, do the big show of power and how their what their standing is all about, a big beating chest opportunity for them. And the missile fizzled. And there is some suggestion, I mean, because Chris Wallace did ask KT McFarland straight out, did the United States hack into North Korea's missile system? And she just kind of smirked. Of course, you know, even if she did know the answer, and if we did, not about to say that, but like anything, if you get people wondering that maybe you did, in much the same way has been done here, and the narrative has been pushed here in this country that Putin orchestrated the election of Donald Trump, then, you know, that becomes, you know, kind of the urban legend. I mean, to the point, and I think it's ridiculous, where you have news people, you know, saying as much. Wait a minute, there's no fact for that. But yet you put that out like it's empirical evidence. There's no evidence to that fact. And what happens, you destroy your own credibility by making such statements, ill-founded statements like that. And at a time when I think media is trying to gain credibility and gain confidence with its constituency, with its readers and listeners and viewers, you know, they shoot themselves in the foot, because at some point you got to say, look, either there's evidence that it did happen or there's not. And until then, I think you got to be real careful in saying that it is a fact. And you got too many people out there saying that it is a fact when, you know, right now, the way the temper has been going in terms of what Donald Trump did, which you would say against Russia and Syria, would demonstrate clearly that Donald Trump is not Putin's puppet by no means. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more coming up right after this.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Just a reminder that for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. And, you know, hashtag us. We do a hashtag kind of thing because that's the way we roll here. Hashtag BML Talk. Get involved in the conversation is absolutely critical. Hey, we got a real treat for you right now. Marty Angelo is with us. He worked in the entertainment business from 1965 to 1980. For some reason, I think that we've had to cross paths because I was in Los Angeles, very much involved in the radio business at that time, too. But Marty was involved as a musician, a TV producer, record promoter, a disc jockey, restaurant and nightclub owner, and personal manager for rock and roll bands like Raven, the popular Top 40s group, The Grassroots, starring Rob Grill. He received his first professional breaks from the late Jimi Hendrix and the late George Harrison. He later wrote and produced the 70s very popular dance TV show, Disco Step by Step, and in 1978 it was voted one of the top 25 disco record promoters. Marty Angelo, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me on. You know, it's funny. I was listening to your theme song there, and I worked on that tune.
Did you really?
Very
white.
Love Unlimited Orchestra. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Well, I got to tell you that this is talking about disco. This was one of our themes, our consistent theme songs that we used back in the days, even before disco was disco. In fact, we used to do grad nights at Disneyland. Okay. And, so this was our signature song. So I've held on to that, as long as I can. And out of respect. So it's, for people that have known me and have known my career, they identify with this. So, well, it's good to know that you worked with it. So, I'm gonna tell you the same thing I told Paul Williams. I go, maybe, you know, for all the times I've played it, maybe I can get a little spin, a little love here for all the times I've played it, even in the years when I was a disc jockey in Los Angeles.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
Wow, you've used that song throughout your whole career. That's
amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it's
beautiful
been there.
Song,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like that anymore.
No, not at all. And to think, and people are surprised that Barry White had this capability because of, what they knew of Barry White. But what a genius! I mean, you worked on this song. I mean, you had to know him personally. What an incredible talent, right?
Yeah, he was way ahead of himself, and you know, he had his fingers on everything. In fact, he was really the forerunner to that whole disco movement. I mean, there was difference in the sound at that time because there was funk. Remember the funk?
Yes, right. Funk Brothers. Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly.
But Barry added the strings, the orchestration, and nobody really was doing that back then. He set the pace for everyone that came after him. And so it was always a pleasure to work on his stuff, and he was quite a guy.
Well, you think about that and how much influence he must have had on the Bee Gees, you know, which they did a special for last night, in terms of that, you know, that big orchestration, that fullness of that sound, which people, when they first heard, you know, the, I guess the raw 4/4 beat of disco music, and then you bring, you know, the element of the orchestra into play here. It really brought fullness and brought the genre into a whole new level altogether, didn't it?
And it also brought the touch dancing back, too, because people started to hustle dance to that type of song. I mean, that was that's what made my television show so unique, because I only used those types of songs on it. Mm-hmm. And so, and the only people that could dance on the show were people that knew how to hustle dance, or salsa dance, they called it.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And my show kind of was the front runner to Dance Fever with Denny Terrio, produced by Mark
Exactly,
Griffin,
right.
And all the others that came after it. And so we kind of set the pace. I didn't want them to just have a regular freeform dance style, because Dick Clark did that, and Don Cornelius did that with their show. We just wanted to be different. Plus, we taught people how to dance.
Right, exactly.
Right on the show, so it made it different, too.
No, it was great. It was great fun. See, Marty, I was like a Billy Crystal, white man overbite, give me a disco ball kind of dancer, you know, because I was cool with the strobe light and the ballroom ball, you know, flashing around. I could make it work, you know.
I know, man. I did the same thing, and you know, as I became a record promoter. When disco really started taking off, you know, we had a group in New York called the New York Record Pool and the International Disco Record Center, and we were kind of the promotion arm for all of the record companies at that time. So we would go around to all the DJs all over New York and actually all over the country, then eventually giving out these free records to these guys, and they would play the songs, and people would want to buy them after they heard them played. And in fact, you know, we didn't even need to promote them on radio, as you know.
Yes.
It was tough to get a record played on a radio station. So this was a pleasure to go into the discos and just give the guy a DJ copy, and he'd play it all night long, and people would then want to buy it and go to the record stores, and record companies loved it.
Yeah. Well, it was tougher radio stations, because they're used to about 3-4 minute cuts, and all of a sudden you start getting, you know, 12-18 minute cuts of that beat, and you know, they're going, whoa, what do we do here? We've got commercials we've got to run at some point,
yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah, well, they always had like a couple of different versions of it. Mm-hmm. But then when FM radio got popular, you know, I think it was WBLS in New York that was kind of the front runner for disco. They would play a lot of the longer songs on there. In fact, you could walk the streets in some of the neighborhoods, and that's all you'd hear. They'd everybody'd have their same station, radio on the same station, and you'd hear the same song playing all the way up the street. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was a great time.
It was
a relief from the 60s.
Mm, exactly.
It was turbulent.
Right.
And when the 70s came around and that disco music and that started happening, it was like opening a window, letting in some fresh air. It was, oh, we survived. We're not going to blow ourselves up. The Russians aren't coming.
That's right. Exactly. And as you say, you open the door up to an incredible amount of talent, whether it was Barry White and Ashford and Simpson and Donna Summers. I mean, you know, it just went on and on, right?
Yeah, it gave everybody an opportunity, and they made big money. It was a $1 billion business, and by the time I was sitting on it before, you know, we were the ones that helped promote it to that level. And then when Robert Stigwood came out with the Bee Gees, and they were looking for someone to be a star in the movie Saturday Night Fever, we took a poll, you know, and John Travolta used to show up at these shopping malls when he used to do that movie or the TV show Welcome Back, Carter.
Exactly.
And he'd get 10,000 screaming fans would show up. So we thought the best person to do that role in Saturday Night Fever would be him, even though he didn't know how to dance, and he wasn't a dancing type guy, but he was a good actor.
Right.
And he fit right into that role, man, and just pushed disco right over the edge. You know?
Yeah, amazing. Amazing what he did. And then, of course, you know, that gave disco a whole nother shot in the arm. And go ahead.
No, and then, well, then it had a demise, too.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to talk about, was the burning up of disco records. It went up in flames. But, hey, it was only for a season, because then it came back in a whole new way, didn't it?
Yeah, it came back with different genres.
Exactly.
It put off into little children.
Right.
And now these DJs, you know, a DJ used to make $25 a night and all you can drink. Now they're making $100,000, $200,000, and they have these big raves that they have.
Oh, yeah.
And speedways, exactly. And it's incredible how big it's gotten.
Well, Marty, we got to go to break. Stay with us. Marty Angelo is with us. We're talking entertainment, music. Stay with us.
Use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Send your emails direct, NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we'd love to hear from you, good, bad, or indifferent. Okay, let's hear from you. I am Bill Martinez, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're talking entertainment, music, walk down the old proverbial memory lane, especially for this kid. Let me tell you, Marty Angelo is with us. Marty, how'd you get started back in the early 60s in the entertainment business?
Well, that's a good question. I was a naive high schooler. Mm-hmm. Used to have parties in the backyard of my house.
Uh-huh.
Drinking beer was just getting popular, so we had to buy a keg of beer, and I'd had play records, and I thought, you know, gee, it would be great to have a live band.
Yeah. So you were an early raver, are you telling me? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't even know half the people that showed up. But I walked around with a lot of dollars in my pocket, all you could drink for a buck. Mm. And they had music, and so I kind of grew into that, liked it. I liked the angle on it. And so when I went to college, University of Buffalo in Buffalo, New York, at that time was the Vietnam War was you know, just going strong. Everybody was getting drafted. In fact, if you weren't in school or married and had kids, you'd get drafted.
Exactly.
You'd have to go and serve and go to Vietnam. And so when I arrived on that campus, the professors that I had were all these very, very radical liberals, even though I didn't know what those words were.
Mm-hmm.
I was naive, so I started believing these people of everything they taught. Vietnam was, you know, we're going to blow ourselves off the face of the earth. The Russians are coming. We shouldn't be in Vietnam. Yeah. Here's the sign. Go out.
You got the Eve of Destruction, you know, playing loud.
And And so I fell right into that lifestyle, man. I thought, yeah. And so I joined the Students for a Democratic Society, and we demonstrated, and so they started to bring in these speakers like Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman and Bobby Seale. They wound up being the Chicago Seven that disrupted the Chicago Convention, Democratic Convention. Mayor Richard Daley, if you remember him, he combated and beat people on television. So. Maybe even worse. So.
Yeah, he went on to run United Airlines, by the way. So, just, you know.
Is that right?
Just sidebar. Sorry.
I jest. Anyway, so they needed bands. You know, they needed some entertainment besides these radical guys coming and telling everybody to demonstrate. So I started booking the band because I had some connections in the music business. And I started bringing in groups like the Grateful Dead. And so they would... The Grateful Dead would play, and then Jerry Rubin would come up and do his radical speech, and all the demonstrators would run on. And so I kept in that lifestyle. I said, boy, this is a good way to make a living, I think, if I can break into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a band that I was managing and out of Buffalo, and a group called Raven. And they were a very, very good group. I mean, they were exceptional musicians, all of them. Mm-hmm. There's five guys, and so they couldn't get a break. So I took them to New York. And got a booking through Jimi Hendrix. I met him in a club in New York called Steve Paul Scene. Mm-hmm. And it was a musicians club where everybody hung out after their gig. And they would come there after playing Fillmore East or Carnegie Hall, and everybody'd hang out, all these famous people. And so he was there. The club owner didn't want to give me a break. He said, get it lost. Come back when you get a hit record. But Hendrix, I walked up to him and I asked him if he'd like to hear a good group. And so, boom, he put a stamp of approval on this group, loved them.
Wow.
Wanted to produce them, and then a club owner booked them then for a year. So that got me the start in that business. I got them signed to a Columbia Records. George Harrison, we negotiated with them with the Beatles, Apple Records at the time, but they were breaking up. The Beatles they were breaking up, and we just thought it wouldn't be that great of a deal if we didn't have Harrison himself produce the band, because they wanted Peter Asher to produce them.
Mm.
And at the time, Peter Asher, nobody knew who he was. He was Jane Asher's brother, who was dating Paul McCartney. So we said, no, it would be better off. But Peter went on to become a very, very successful record producer.
Exactly,
right. He produced Livingston Taylor, James Taylor, Linda Ronstadt. And so the group split up, then after we signed the contract, and you know how bands are. They were very, very moody. Moody. And I couldn't get along with each other, and they all thought they were greater than the Beatles. So they split up, and I went on then to produce or manage the rock group, the Grassroots.
Grassroots,
I don't know if you remember them or not.
Oh, are you kidding me? Gosh, I've played their music. And of course, I love the idea that their music is played in major stadiums across the country right now. I mean,
Well, they're still together. You know, Rob Grill had passed away not too long ago, and but we got to be close. And Rob was a great guy, lead singer, and so we used to do shows with the Grassroots, Beach Boys, Three Dog Night, and that was really a dynamic show because you got to hear hit records all night.
Exactly.
And we traveled around. I was with them for a long time, and had a really really fun time, and made some good friends, and I was messed up though, man. My life was a wreck. I couldn't see straight half the time. I was usually too high or too drunk or too messed up, very unhappy, very upset with myself. Even though I was at this pinnacle of success, there was something wrong with me, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I just kept doing the party scene, thinking, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, sooner or later you'll figure it out, huh?
Well,
if you don't die first.
Well, and that's what happened. And when Jimi Hendrix died, he was about 27.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my! I remember Hendrix being with him. We were doing LSD, and he was quite a big advocate of that stuff. And he said, he made this profound statement saying that, he goes, I know where we're from. He says, we're all from the asteroid belt that runs around Saturn. Oh, gee, is that right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty far out, but when he died, and then Janis Joplin died.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix wasn't Purple Haze for no reason, no specific reason.
Well,
right?
He was mind-blowing. I mean, this guy was something else. And so, but he was the sweetest, nicest man you'd ever want to meet. He'd give you the shirt off his back and do anything. He gave me my first break. I mean, when no one else wanted to help.
Well, here with the Ravens, yeah, exactly. Well, I got to tell you, you mentioned Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Summer 1967, he's the opening act for the Mamas and the Papas at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I go there, and I mean, nobody had ever seen, until then, somebody use a microphone stand and run it up the guitar strings like he did. It was incredible. What a show. But anyway, go ahead.
And, he started off at the Peppermint Lounge in New York.
Right.
That's when I first saw him. And he was just a guitar player in the backup band, Joey D and the Starlighters.
Oh, wow.
And then he left New York because he wasn't doing much and went to England. And then he got, they was talked into going to England, and then he became a huge success from England. They thought he was an English band.
Yeah.
And in a sense, he was. The two guys he had in that experience were English. And so that's when he came back. And then right after he came back is when he gave me my break. I think it was 67, around that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't real big when you saw him, right? He was just breaking.
No, he was. Well, I mean, hey, he's the opening act. Are you kidding me? For the Mamas and the Papas? I mean, I had known of him because I was one of these nuts, I mean, I collected records and I had the Jimi Hendrix Experience LP.
Yes.
Back in the days when I could say LP because that's what they had. And, of course, everybody knows real quick.
Great.
He goes, oh, yeah, he's not talking CDs or digital music anymore. But, yeah, I wore that thing out.
Well, you were a DJ in Los Angeles or New York?
Right, in Los Angeles, yeah. I was I was at KISS and KRLA back in the old days, KRLA. And
oh, my goodness.
Was with Art LeBeau, if you remember that name. And then also K-Day Radio. It was right at the time when FM was coming into play. And I was there during the era of Wolfman Jack when he was there before he went to New York. And so, it was wild. I mean, Chicago was always... was hanging out. In fact, I was the first one ever across the country to play Feeling Stronger Every Day. Bob Wilson, the program director, came straight from Colorado, had the press. He goes, here, play this song. And I played it back to back, which used to always blow Wolfman Jackson. He goes, oh, my God, I can't believe you play it. You play it once, then you play it back to back. I said, well, hey, it was the first time I was going to play it. Might as well make an effect out of it, So
you had that freedom back then, too.
Yeah, a little bit anyway. Yeah, I mean, I still managed to get in trouble a little bit once in a while because I just did. But I never got into the drug scene. That was always there. And they said, well, they say you're Mexican. You got to be, you must be selling it then. Yeah,
you're
whatever.
Carrying it in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, come on, stop.
Looking for you, I think. He's on his list.
Exactly. Marty Angelo is with us. The conversation continues as we go walk down memory lane. Music and TV and entertainment right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible.
possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Hey, got to have some fun here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for, coming on the ride with us as we go back, talk a little bit entertainment biz, disc jockey world, my old background, music, TV, and, of course, Marty Angelo is with us. What a background, getting involved in television and producing concerts and being involved with the likes of Jimi Hendrix and George Harrison. You heard him talk about before with Barry White and the Love Unlimited Orchestra. What a ride for you. And then, we did talk about how disco, the rise and crash of it, but then the rebirth of disco as well, right?
Yeah. It was a bad time, though. The rock groups and the rock fans got very upset with disco. I mean, so did I. I mean, here was I, one of the promoters of making a good living. I mean, every time you turned around, Frank Sinatra had a disco song, Ethel Merman had a disco song. I mean, everybody and their brother, the Rolling Stones, had disco songs. And I think people, it got such an overkill. And no one really knew the underlying story behind disco. They thought it was Saturday Night Fever, and thank God it's Friday. But the disco went back years and years before, and there was a lot of history to it that a lot of people didn't know. And so the rockers kind of got upset, and they wanted to hear their music on the radio. I mean, even AM radio was playing disco. Everything you touched was disco. Yeah. And so it just killed itself. And the name got to be a bad word, and so but the beat was still there. People still like to dance and party, so that just changed into different genres. And, my TV show at the time was the highest rated TV show. It switched over. It started off on cable, mm-hmm. and then we went to a network station. But the network at one time didn't even want to know me. Mm-hmm. But we had such good ratings on cable that we even were beating the network. on a Saturday afternoon, and that shocked them. I mean,
exactly.
That was when they were still stringing cable, brother. They weren't. Mm-hmm. No one had Wi-Fi and this and that. And so you had to have a cable strung into your house. And so they thought cable was going to go away. That's what the guy, station manager, told me. He says, cable, it's the best. HBO.
Who's going to pay for this when you get it for free? Right.
In fact, the hotel where I did my show from, they had a 747 disco. It was the interior of a 747 plane. Huge. Uh-huh. So we set up cameras in there, and it was broadcast standard stuff. But he didn't even want to have it at first because he felt that he didn't want to string his hotel with cable because he felt that people would stay in their rooms and watch HBO and not come and drink at the clubs and different setups he had around in his hotel. But how wrong was he?
Exactly.
So the cable station, really one of the main reasons why they wanted to do my show was because the owner of the hotel had to commit to stringing cable. I mean, this is how far back this goes. And so it turned out to be a good ride, but it was the end. The disco was the end of me at that time too, because I was out of control, and I was doing too many drugs and partying too much, and I wound up getting arrested. And
you look at it as a miracle. You say
yes
when you were arrested, because it was because leading up to all this, you were saying. Here you are, kind of like Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? You've got all this great stuff going for you, and you're going, wait a minute, I'm still coming up empty here. What the heck's going on?
Yes. Yeah. So it was a great day when the DEA arrested me. It was 30 other Coast Guards. I was living on Hibiscus Island. If you're from Florida, you know that.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Al Capone used to live down in that neighborhood.
Right.
So we had a big yacht in the backyard. I was visiting these guys that owned the house, and they were under investigation, and I was buying drugs from them to bring back to Hollywood for my band and the road trip that we were taking, and boom, I was arrested with them. And so they handcuffed me and threw me in county jail, and I was there scratching my head going, wait a minute, I'm in the music business. I'm not like these rest of these guys. I shouldn't be here.
Right.
You know who I am? And the cop goes, shut up.
Yeah.
Lay down on your bunk. Tell it to the judge in the morning. But that was my bottom, man. That was, as they call in addictions and in AA and things like that, I had hit rock bottom. And that got my attention. And psychiatrists call it introspection. And Christians call it taking a good old look at yourself, brother.
Exactly, yeah.
So my sister had become a Christian, and she was praying for me. And so finally I listened. And I said, this got to be more than better. Something's got to be out there that's better than what I'm doing. I'm looking at spending the rest of my life in prison. They wanted to throw the book at me. They were going to make an example. They finally caught somebody in the music business.
Wow.
And
of course, all this is on the heels of payola, drugola. I remember back in those days, Marty, I was signing monthly affidavits that I had not accepted any money or any drugs for playing music and all that sort of thing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, because we used to use, I was an independent record promoter at the time, too. And so there's no more of those really anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we would go into a town, a small town, and bring, a couple grams of coke for the guy, the program director or station manager, whoever was authorized to put a record on.
Right.
And they'd love it. They didn't even want money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then the song would be on the very same day, pick hit of the week. Here it is.
That's it. Here it goes.
They were good records, though. They weren't songs. Right. They were hit records. We gave them hits. I mean, I didn't promote junk.
Yeah.
And so,
gave them junk, but didn't promote junk.
There you go. Right. Yeah. My junky lifestyle. I have the consequences, brother. Everybody thinks, especially nowadays, too. The same thing is happening with the Hollywood celebrities that are doing the same type of partying that we all did back in the 60s with my group, my generation, the Woodstock generation, the disco generation. And there's a price to pay, man. You can't get away with it. Look at the celebrities that have died.
Yeah.
I mean, and even in our community in Florida, there's 300. They're doing a big war on the opiates. Look at Donald Trump and his
people
there. Now they want to do this big war. And they want to combat these opiates because these kids are dropping dead. They're not just snorting coke and smoking pot. And so my job has been helping these kids, helping them get off of this stuff.
Well, Marty, it's the lost lives. I mean, for you, you got a second chance. I mean, you hit rock bottom. You got a sister who's praying for you. And you got a second chance. I mean, imagine if your life would have ended right there.
Oh, man, and many times I went into the hospital with overdose many times. My heart rate was 300 beats a minute, racing out of control, irregular. I caused so much damage. Plus, I tried to commit suicide a couple times because I was just so depressed and upset with my life.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, my second chance came along, and it's been 35 years since that happened, man.
It's been that long, huh, Marty? Wow.
It's been long that I've been on the straight and narrow, in recovery and giving back, helping. I've worked in prison ministries. I've worked for Teen Challenge, which is a big outfit that David Wilkerson started, the movie mm-hmm. Cross and the Switchblade.
Right, exactly, huh?
And Chuck Colson, I worked with Chuck when he was alive at Prison Fellowship. Chuck was the special advisor to President Richard Nixon.
Yes.
And Colson got arrested, went to prison because of the Watergate problems and crimes that were committed because of that. So, you know, here I was with a bunch of people that all paid a price for the consequences of their life. I mean, I never thought in a million years I would be friends with someone that worked for President Nixon.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you look at the trajectory of your life and you intersect all these. I mean, you got musicians that are absolutely iconic and historic. Your TV show, all these benchmarks throughout your life. And now on the other side of this pursuit of life, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you find yourself on God's team and you're meeting men who have been redeemed like you, like Chuck Colson.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chuck told me one time, we were at a conference together when I first came on board, and he says, Marty, he says, tell me about your life in the music business. And I told him about the grassroots. And he goes, oh, he says, you know something? He goes, let me tell you, that band almost wound up on the enemies list. Remember Nixon had an enemy?
Yeah, absolutely, huh?
The Smothers brothers were on the top of the list because they hated Nixon, and Nixon hated them, and he took them right off the air. That's how much power Nixon had when they had the number one TV show, and he took them right off the air. And
yeah.
He said that what happened with us is that, I guess it was Trisha Nixon or Julie Nixon, was having a birthday, and she was going to have a party, and her favorite band was the Grassroots.
Oh, wow. So, okay, look, we got a pause. Marty, we got to pause it right now because we got to go to break. We'll be right back with Marty Angelo. We're talking story, music story, right here on Bill Martinez Live, 18 before the top of the hour.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Family Health and Education Resources wants to help you achieve and maintain good health naturally. Overcome lifestyle diseases with nutrition and natural remedies. Addiction recovery designed to build habits that heal rather than hurt. Communication and relationship building to strengthen family units. Character building and devotional resources for the whole family. We are on a mission to save America one family at a time. Visit NewEnglandFHER.com today. NewEnglandFHER.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. A conversation with Marty Angelo continues. He's the author of the book, Once Life Matters, A New Beginning. And right before the break, we were talking about, the pressure that the Nixon administration was putting on, entertainment and certain groups, particularly the grassroots. And Marty, you were telling us a story there about the grassroots and Richard Nixon's daughter, how much she loved the grassroots, and they were on the targeted list, huh?
Yeah, they were. It's funny because I remember the call. We were in, I think, Chicago or something, and we're just kind of partied out, like early in the morning. We had just gone to bed, and we get this call from our booking agent from Los Angeles and saying, we got a call from the president of the United States, Richard M. Nixon's office called and said they want your group to play at the White House for one of his daughters, I can't remember which one it was, a birthday party that the grassroots is her favorite band. And at the time, the grassroots had the number one hit record at the time, was, I think it was Midnight Confession. So they were really riding high. But they were a pop group, and so they didn't know, there was that underground rock groups that had a bad, they had a bad reputation. They were all drug groups. And We did our fair share of drugs, but nobody knew, and we weren't protesting anything.
Right.
They were just putting out pop records. That was the difference. There was still AM radio. It still had hit records that made a fortune, while the FM was just starting out. And so I wake up Rob. I said, Rob, we got the agent in Nixon wants us to come to White House. And nobody liked Nixon at the time. I mean, we never said so because we were never asked.
Right.
But if you were, it goes back to the 60s thing where if you weren't for them, you were against them, so we were those radical liberal hippies that were kind of making it through. And the conservatives were guys like Nixon and Colson.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, we hated each other. And there was no way. And so he tells a guy with an expletive, what Nixon could do.
Right.
And he goes, no, don't do that, Rob. Take the gig. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do this. He's too powerful. You can't turn him down, the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So he did. We didn't do the gig.
He didn't
and
do it.
Didn't do the gig, insulted him. He took offense. And so I find this out now years later when I meet Chuck Colson, because Chuck Colson was in charge of Nixon's enemies list.
And
one other guy that was in the White House, forgot the guy's name. And he
Haldeman?
Said, Marty,
was Haldeman involved?
I don't know if it was Alderman or one of them.
Yeah, Haldeman, yeah. Uh-huh.
But again, here I am sitting with this guy, with Chuck, who we said to each other, we'd never in a million years be sitting at the same table, Marty, ever. Mm-hmm. You know, you were a rock druggie. Here I was working for the president of the United States. So you, it was a miracle. We kept looking at each other going, what a miracle. God is real. He really does change lives. Look at us. We like each other.
Right.
I said, well, yeah. But he said, you know, you came so close to getting on the enemy's list because of this deal that you turned down Richard Nixon.
Right.
And I said, he says, you don't know how close you came in, but he got over it and they got somebody else to play the gig. But from that day on, Bill, even the president of ABC Dunhill Records, who we were with at this time, never accepted our phone calls.
Wow.
He never allowed us in the office. If we saw him, he'd turn the other way. They wouldn't accept our phone calls. Mm-hmm. We were dead. Yeah.
Well, today you'd have done that. They'd have built a statue with holy water coming out your left ear, you know?
Especially if you did it to our current president.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, no one likes the guy. It's too bad because he's a good guy, and I think he's doing a good job for our country, and I supported him.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I became a radical liberal into it. Because I became a Christian, all of a sudden, life mattered to me. That's why I wrote the book, Once Life Matters, A New Beginning, because I had a new chance, a new life, and life started to matter after I became a Christian. And all of a sudden, I had values, morals, things mattered. I loved life. I was happy. I was peaceful. I wanted to help people. And I guess you'd call that a conservative. Because the liberal people that I know, even to this day, they may say they all want that type of life, but then they'll beat you up and kill you. They
That's right.
You don't believe them. You're not on their side. Right. God forbid that you're talking morals and things and life. It's amazing what's happening to the college campuses nowadays. They're going through the same turmoil, if not worse. We never beat anybody. In fact, I think Nixon killed four of us.
Right,
at Kent State.
Right.
Because we were so far out of control, which he thought was that was out of control. Wow. If he was alive today, he'd probably shoot everybody if he could get a chance.
Right.
These kids are getting away with more stuff, and they don't realize, man, this is why I'm in the work that I'm in, because eventually they're going to pay consequences in their own individual lifestyle.
Without a doubt.
It's not the group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the group. It's each person. God's got a plan and a purpose for each person. And if they don't get that now, their life is going to continue, and they're going to be searching, and they're going to try to find a way, and they're going to try and believe all these professors that are teaching them this nonsense that means absolutely nothing. It has nothing to do with your education. It has to do with what these professors think is what you should know and how you should live your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way it was in the 60s. It's not, now it's even 10 times worse, 100 times worse nowadays, because I don't think you'd find one conservative professor on a college campus. If so, they'll run them out of town.
Yeah, they get marginalized real quick. There's no question that faculty room justice is has been overwhelming. As much as Richard Nixon controlled politics, now liberals are controlling the hallways and the classrooms of academia. And as you say, these young kids are being they're being treated like a bunch of mushrooms, and we know how those are treated. Because the thing is, like for you in your life, you found out and you were given a second chance. And here we are at a time when the country needs these young people, when their families, their future kids need them to have their act together. And what are they going to be prepared to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had something that we demonstrated against, and that was the war. None of us wanted to go out and fight that war. None of us wanted to be drafted. These kids are demonstrating against nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the right to do what they're doing with no doubt. I mean, you have that was the liberal thing. We started that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so, I can see why they're doing it, but there's no cause behind it.
Right.
You know, I mean, the guy, he's the president of the United States. He won it legally. I mean, it wasn't like he cheated. They can't find any way that he fixed it. People just didn't want Hillary as the president. So,
that's right.
I mean, get over it.
Right.
And get on with your lives, and you have nothing to demonstrate again. Nothing.
Well, I say go and ask the questions. We need you to ask the questions. That's not a problem. But listen for the answers. And after it's all said and done, does it add to or take away from the trajectory of your life? Some of these kids are blind.
Of our country.
Yeah, exactly.
Of our country, not just your life yourself, but I mean, look at the direction that our country was in.
Right.
Leading up to this, that was because we started this movement. Remember that. This is the journalism and professors that were preaching that you should not be a straight person. You should not have moral values. They were teaching against it.
You got to love the one you're with, right? I mean, all this moral debasement, and we lived it like Solomon. You know, there was nothing new under the sun. We could do whatever we darn well please according to our own eyes. We lived that life, and I would say to these young millennials, listen to your parents. Listen to the experience of people who've been there, done it, and bought the T-shirt.
Yeah, well, we were taught not to listen to our parents, that they were the enemy. We were taught that if you grow your hair long, smoke pot, listen, Timothy Leary had the mantra, turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Exactly.
And do your own thing. We never even heard the word sin. Mm-hmm. That was from my parents' generation. Remember the generation gap, they called it?
Oh, yeah,
there was
absolutely.
A gap between, right. I didn't even know what the gap was, but my professor said, it's those people. It's those straight people. It's those conservative people. Look at it. It's those Richard Nixon people. You know, you meet a lot of these guys. I've met many a veteran that went to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're great guys, man. They went blindly, but they went off and they tried to do what was right.
Exactly.
We tried to do what was right by demonstrating because we didn't understand the war. But it cut through our whole country. And that spirit hasn't left.
Exactly.
It remains in this country. It's a spirit of rebellion.
Yeah. And that's really, you're exactly right there. That's it in a word. It's rebellion. Marty, as we wrap things up here, One Life Matters, A New Beginning. Congratulations on the book and your ministry.
Thank you.
For more than 30 years now, you've worked with various ministries. You're currently a full-time minister to prisoners, substance abusers, and troubled celebrities. What is the takeaway, you know, that you want people to get from your book?
Well, you know, you could relate to it in so many different ways. Whether you're a rich man or you're a poor man, you're a drug addict or you're straight or you have a family member that might be in trouble and you're not sure how to get to them. And it's just, you know, it's a story of redemption. It's a story of a second chance. It's a story of a new beginning. And I see and meet thousands of people around the country that are searching for meaning in life and trying to get a handle on how to just make it till tomorrow. And so my story and my book has been donated to over 60,000 of them in prison. And I get these fantastic letters from people that have gone through the same experience. They're sitting in a lockup somewhere going, how did I get here? What's wrong with me?
Right.
And so they have a worse story than mine as far as what their life was before. So I'm thankful that God has used me and in me and through me to help as many people as I can. If your listeners have someone that's in trouble or wants a book, wants me to send it to them, I gladly send it to them. They can go to my website, MartyAngelo.com, find my email address, Marty@MartyAngelo.com. Send me an email. I'll be glad to send them a book with a letter. If you got somebody in a rehab that wants to, if you want to go that route, you know, you have to want to change your life.
Exactly. Well, Marty, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Once again, we got to stay in touch, buddy. Appreciate the time.
You got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
The answer to being